Good morning. Greet each one in Christ's precious name. For a message this morning. Message title is Little Actions That Had Far-Reaching Consequences. Enjoyed this study. You know, as we go through life, we're making choices that have far-reaching consequences, either positive or negative. You know, as we go through our days, most days are filled up with small events and happenings. You know, when someone says, "So what's happening in your life?" You know, you might say something like, "Well, no, not much. You know, it's just the same old things." You know, a lot of times we feel like we don't have anything worth talking about. What's happening in our lives? Now, sometimes there are big events that are life changing. But on the whole, our days are made up of a lot of little things. And we tend to look at these little things as insignificant. And they won't make much difference in our lives or in anyone else's life. You know, but sometimes the smallest actions can have immeasurable consequences, not only for ourselves, but for our families and for those around us. And it's often these small things that actually define the course that we are on. You know, small everyday actions have a huge impact on us. Came across a quote. The quote read like this: 9 times out of 10, our biggest achievements come from the constant tiny footsteps in the right direction. I like that. You know, this morning we're gonna look at a few examples of what looks like little actions that had really far-reaching consequences. And these were just normal people, just facing life's challenges. But we're gonna see how those little actions can matter a lot. This morning I have 5 examples of negative consequences and 5 examples of positive consequences. So we don't have time to read all these accounts. We'll read some verses, maybe one or so. We'll read the account, but I think I might have said this the last message I preached. But I know I'm talking to a group of Bible scholars, and I'm glad for that. You already know these stories, so you're gonna need to draw from your Bible knowledge because we don't have time to read the whole story. First part of the message, I want to look at little actions that had negative consequences. First example is Adam and Eve. Turn to Genesis 3, if you care to. I have 6 verses I want to read there. Genesis 3. I thought that's probably the first one we should start with, Adam and Eve. It's back in the beginning, where it all started. Genesis 3, verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." I'm going to read verse 7 yet. "And the eyes of them both were opened, And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Did Eve realize what all was involved when she took that fruit in her hand? She took a bite and then shared it with her husband. You know, it may be that she didn't. The devil had done a good job of deceiving her. You know, the devil asked, "Hath God said?" You know, planting that seed of doubt in her mind that surely God didn't mean what he said. But Eve is inexcusable because she knew what God said. She told the serpent in verse 3, "God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." So she knew. Adam knew. But being deceived, she went against what God had told them. And you can look at that story, and you can look at the little act of eating of the fruit and say, you know, what's the big deal? All they did was eat some fruit. That's no awful sin. But it was a big deal. It was a big deal because God had told Adam and Eve that they can eat of every tree in the garden. They had the whole garden, every tree, except that one tree. And they both knew that, and they both remembered it. Just think about that. That little action was sin against God. It was rebellion. That's what it was. And because of their sin, they lost so much. You know, you could make a list. You know, they lost their innocence before God. They lost their relationship with God. They lost their home in the garden. And ever since, every one of us, every person that's been born, is born with that sinful, carnal nature that causes us so much problem. Well, let's remember, the devil's going to tempt every one of us. And we will be tempted with, "Hath God said?" You know, surely God didn't mean that. Or surely God wouldn't deny us of something good that we would enjoy. But let's remember, there is no ignoring God's commands. They stand firm. And every command, whether we consider them to be big or small, God means what he says. And he will hold us accountable for disobedience. The second example is Achan. Turn to Joshua 6. I want to read a couple verses here in this account. The example is Achan. I'm going to read just verses 1 and 2. Joshua 6, verses 1 and 2, verse 1. "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." You know, God had promised Israel the city. All they had to do was march around that walled city one time for 6 days, and they were to be silent. And then the seventh day, they were to march around the city seven times, and they were to be silent. And on the seventh time, when they got around the seventh time, when the priests blew that trumpet, they were to shout, and those walls came down. Well, God had given Israel some direction of what they were to do with Jericho's stuff. And let's just jump down to verses 17. I want to read verses 17 to 19. Joshua 6, verse 17. "And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Now there was one man, which was Achan, who did not obey. Jump down to Joshua 7. Joshua 7, I'm going to read verses 20 to 21. Joshua 7, verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, I indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a godly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. You know, we could ask the question, did Achan realize the effect his sin was going to have on the rest of Israel? You know, after all, wasn't he just taking the usual after-war plunder? You know, many times they were allowed to take of the spoil of their enemies. I don't know what he was thinking. You know, he may have reasoned he needed these things. You know, it really wouldn't matter if he'd just take a few things. You know, it was such a shame to let all those things go to waste. But God had made it very clear that they were not to take anything for themselves. Well, one thing we know, by hiding what he took, Achan showed that he was guilty. He knew he was disobeying God. And that little action of taking a few things was a sin against God. Achan, we know the story. Achan and his whole family lost their lives. His possessions were burned because of this disobedience. The children of Israel, they lost the next war because of Achan's sin. That's when it finally came out. And just stop and think about all the lives that were lost because of his little actions. Let's not forget, our little actions may have far-reaching consequences. And once again, there's no ignoring God's commands. They stand firm. The third example is Moses. Turn to Numbers 20. I'm going to read just a few verses here. The children of Israel were in the desert of Zin, and they were out of water. Moses was upset at the people because they were complaining. They were blaming Moses and Aaron for their condition. And God told Moses what to do to provide water for the people. We want to read verses, Numbers 20, verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock which before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth them to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank, and their beasts also. You know, do you think Moses would have made sure he did exactly as God commanded if he would have known the consequences of his disobedience? You know, when you look at the story and the complaining that was going on, blaming Moses and Aaron for their situation, you know, it seems like Moses only did a small thing here. Instead of speaking to the rock, he hit the rock. And I think probably most of us would have been frustrated with the people, and we'd have felt like hitting the rock too. But God had said, speak to the rock. And Moses' little action cost him a lot. You know, he was not able to go into the promised land because he had not obeyed God. And let's just remember, little acts of disobedience will keep us out of the promised land. Let's not forget that. Once again, there's no ignoring God's commands. You know, they stand firm. The fourth example is Uzzah. Turn to 2 Samuel 6. I have a few verses we're going to read there. Did Uzzah know of the command that only the priests were to touch the ark? I don't know the answer to that question, but I think somehow they would have been told. Well, the Philistines had captured the ark of God, and David was bringing it home. Let's read these verses. 2 Samuel 6, verse 3. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, and on psalteries, and on timbals, and on cornets, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. You know, there's a lot in that story. You know, was Uzzah just following instinct? You know, if something falls, or it looks like it's going to fall, what do? You reach out and steady it. You know, it made sense for him to do that. But God had said, don't touch the ark. And Uzzah's disobedience cost him his life. You know, sometimes we're tempted to think that under certain circumstances, God's laws don't apply. Let's not forget, once again, there's no ignoring God's commands. They stand firm. And the fifth example is Ananias and Sapphira. Turn to Acts 5. I think we're going to read that account. I'm going to read verses 1 to 10. Acts 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me, whether ye sold the land for so much? And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. You know, as I thought about that story, it's like, well, what happened here? I believe the desire to be well thought of and the sin of lying cost both of them their lives. You know, we just read what Peter said. Peter said the money was theirs while they owned it. And they didn't even have to give the full amount to the Lord. You know, the problem was that they both willingly had decided to deceive the apostles, that they were giving the whole amount. And then they were willing to lie about it. You know, when Peter asked Sapphira if they had sold the land for so much, those four little words, yea, for so much, it cost her a lot. You know, she lost her life because of those four little words. Now, there's a lot went into those four little words. A lot had happened. But it just shows how seriously God looks at these sins. And let's not forget, once again, there is no ignoring God's commands. They do stand firm. As I thought about that story and the desire to be well thought of, you know, I asked myself the question, is that something that we face? I think we all know the answer to that. You know, let's be honest. As I thought back over my life, and as I observed others' lives through the years, you know, I concluded that the desire to be well thought of has made many a person do things that they would never have imagined that they would do. Well, we just looked at a few examples of little actions that people did that caused far-reaching negative consequences to their lives. And the Bible there's many examples. We could keep going. You know, sometimes we're tempted to look at little things and think they really don't matter, or that God's going to overlook these little things. And yes, we live in a day of grace. So we will not be struck down for steadying the ark or for not being honest. You and your family will not be stoned and burned for stealing something. But by looking at these examples, we can plainly see the importance of knowing and following God's commands. And it may not cost us our physical life, but it does affect our spiritual condition tremendously. You know, this battle between right and wrong, where does it start? It's fought in our minds. And we can see the deadly results if Satan deceives us. Just like back in the story of Adam and Eve. And we can see the deadly results if we follow our own way instead of listening to what God has said. Just want you to remember, Malachi 3, verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Let's remember, God doesn't change. And he still views sin as serious today as he viewed it back in the Bible times. And even little sins are serious things. For the second part of the message, I want to look at little actions that had positive consequences. We have a couple examples. We want to look at that. First example is Rahab. You don't have to turn to this. I have two verses from Hebrews. Hebrews 11, verses 30 and 31 says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." And we know the story. We already talked about Achan. He's from that story also. But the Israelites had sent spies to Jericho to check it out before they were going to do their marching around and take over that city. And Rahab knew who they were and had gave them a place to stay. I think it says that she knew that God was with them, with these spies. These spies, they told her that the city was going to be destroyed. But because of her act of kindness to them, she and her house would not perish if she would just do as they told her to do. And her house was on the city wall. And we know the story. The men of Jericho were trying to find these spies, and she hid them on the roof of her house. And she later lowered them by a cord to safety. Well, they promised her that if she placed that scarlet cord in the window of her house, she and her family would be saved. And according to Joshua 2, verse 21, she immediately obeyed. Let me read you that verse. "And she said," this is to the spies she's talking, "according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window." Just thought about the story and wonder how she felt when the whole Israelite camp was marching around the city, and she knew it was going to be destroyed. Didn't know how it's all going to work out, but she did what she was told. You know, that little action of just placing the cord in her window saved herself and her family. And I believe that shows what a great faith she possessed. You know, she was willing to follow directions, and somehow, amongst all the corruption she lived in, she found hope and believed in the true God of Israel. It says, after those walls came down, one of the first things they did was go to her house and get her family, and they took her into the camp of Israel. Second example is Jochebed. I think we'll take the time to look that story up. You know, when Moses was born, Jochebed went against the king's orders that all the baby boys were to be thrown into the river. Instead, we know what she did. She hid Moses for 3 months until she couldn't hide him any longer. Let me read you Exodus 2, verse 3 says, "And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink." And then Hebrews 11, verse 23 says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." You know, Jochebed moved out in faith, and God took care of the rest. You know, her little baby was to be thrown into the river, and she couldn't hide him any longer. I believe as she wove her little basket, I believe she committed her baby to God, probably not knowing the outcome of putting him out to float among the bulrushes. But through this act of faith, she saved the life of a great leader. Yes, her little ark was nothing compared to big Noah's ark. But that didn't mean her little ark wasn't important. You know, God wanted to use her little ark for a very important reason. The third example is the children of Israel were to apply the blood to the lintel and to the doorposts of their houses. Let's turn to Exodus 12. I have a couple verses to read there, if you care to. Exodus 12. I'm going to read verses 21 to 23. Verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. You know, God had spelled it all out, what they were to do, how they were to put the blood on the lintel and the two side posts. And we know what happened. You know, those who responded in obedience to what God had asked were passed over. And the death angel did not strike at their house. You know, those little actions made all the difference of whether their firstborn's lives were spared or not. The fourth example is the woman that touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Here's a woman that had, it says she had spent everything that she had. She had spent everything she had on medical expenses, trying to find healing, and instead of getting better, she kept getting worse. But she didn't give up because she was a woman of faith, and she believed Jesus could heal her. You read just a couple verses from Mark 5. Mark 5, verse 28 says, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, talking about Jesus, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue was going out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? You know, what was this little action that she wanted to do? All she wanted to do was touch the hem of Jesus' garment. You know, her little action of reaching out and touching Jesus' garment, coupled with her faith, brought her healing. And one more example is a little boy with a lunch. And this is one for the children. Well, not just the children, also the adults. But we all know the story very good. We're not going to read it. All the Gospels record this story. Jesus had spent 3 days in a mountain healing many people. The Bible tells us a great multitude came to him. Well, by now they were hungry, and they had no food. And if they had food with them, by this time it was gone. And when you have a crowd of people like that, you have a real problem. Well, Jesus had compassion in them and said if he sends them away hungry, some of them are going to perish from hunger on the way home. So he asked his disciples to go. They talked about buying food and how that's not possible. He asked his disciples to see if they could find any food among them. Well, we know what happened. They searched. And they told Jesus the only things they had they could find was a little boy that has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Of course, we know that isn't enough to feed a multitude like that. There was about 5,000 hungry people. Well, Jesus took those few loaves and fishes and he blessed them. And he performed a miracle. It's a beautiful story. You know, with those 5 loaves and few fishes, they were able to feed all 5,000 people. Plus, there was 12 baskets left over. You know, we look at that, and it's like, what a miracle that was. Now, here's a lesson for you children. You know, sometimes you children don't like to share. And sometimes, it's not just children that don't like to share. Sometimes us adults don't like to share. But what if this boy would have said, I'm not giving up my loaves and fishes. This is my lunch. My mother made this lunch just for me. What if he just said that? Well, we know Jesus could have performed a miracle and made food for the people anyway. He could have made it out of nothing. But he wanted to use this little lunch from this little boy. And it's a beautiful story. It was quite a miracle that Jesus performed. You know, the little boy's action of giving his lunch to Jesus ended up feeding thousands of people. So yes, you children can do little deeds that can bring tremendous blessings to others. The little boy with his meager lunch was a blessing to many hungry people. As I thought about that, I can only imagine that his food tasted so much better when he was sharing it with all those people than if he'd have kept it all to himself. Well, in closing, you know, God's word. We are so blessed this morning to have God's word in our hands. And there is so much admonition and stories that are for our learning. We saw this morning how God notices little things. You know, all our deeds will be remembered. And that's what makes it so serious. You know, God notices the little things that we do. Whether they're good or whether they're bad. We saw that God doesn't overlook sin. Even when it appears to us like just little sins. And we also saw that God sees our good deeds. You know, sometimes we feel like we aren't important to God unless we can do big things for God. Let's remember that every deed, whether big or small, has a lot of potential. And there is nothing too small for God to use. You know, we looked at all these stories, these happenings. And we need to learn from them. You know, now it's our turn. You and I are writing our own story. And the question is, what is it going to read like? It's a challenge. It's something that we need to think about. Let's not forget, we will stand before God at the judgment, and we will give an account of our life and the things that we've done, even the little things. Don't let anybody tell you that the little things don't matter. Well, God bless each one of you as you strive to go through the week and as you do those little things for God and His kingdom. Let's pray.